New Testament scripture comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus has caused such a stir up in Galilee that Pharisees and scribes come all the way from Jerusalem to check him out. And I'm going to be reading an account of these Pharisees and scribes coming to Jesus from Jerusalem. And then Jesus moves to the very top beyond Galilee to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So two stories from the Gospel of Matthew. Let us hear the word of God. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." Now, this is not the normal hand washing that we do, all of us, before we eat to get dirt off them. It's the ritual hand washing, one of the many laws that were prescribed for Jews, that before they ate, they had to do a complicated ritual of hand washing. And Jesus' disciples weren't doing it. And the scribes and Pharisees were asking him why. Jesus answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks ill of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother what support you might have had from me is given to God. Then that person needs not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God, you hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered the woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, answering, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Often when you hear or read a passage in the Gospels, you might think that the writer is just listing story after story of things Jesus did or said. First he did this, then he did that, then he had a conversation with the Pharisees, then this Canaanite woman came up to him. With our sophisticated 20th or 21st century's way of synthesizing things, we may consider that poor old Matthew was not up to more than just making lists of things that Jesus said or did. These two stories that I just read, for example, seem to have nothing to do with each other. One commentator hit the nail on the head when he said that Matthew 15 is all about ritual purity. Who is clean? Who is not? And what makes them that way? On the one side, you've got the Pharisees carping and complaining that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. On the other side, you've got this poor Canaanite woman begging Jesus to heal her daughter. It's an age-old question. Who are the saints and who are the sinners? The answer is not as simple as you might think, and that's the essence of my sermon this morning. In keeping all the rules, the Pharisees thought they were the righteous ones. While if there was anyone undeserving of God's mercy, well, obviously that's the Canaanite woman. Surprisingly, what we find is that those who are closest to the kingdom are those with, are you ready for it? Those with the faith of a dog. Let's take it from the top. Again, according to Matthew, then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples disobey the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread." So who are these Pharisees and scribes anyway? They are the moral police force of Jesus' day. They're the keepers of the law. As far as they're concerned, that's the ticket to ritual purity. Another commentator writes, "Pharisees and scribes think of holiness as faithful observation of the law. The issue is that of human-made tradition versus God's law. While Torah law included a great deal of detail, it did not attempt to anticipate every possible scenario. Rabbis who loved God and wanted to keep the law faithfully developed the Mishnah and the Talmud to correct this deficiency in Torah, producing works that filled nearly 36,000 pages. That's a lot of law. Caught up in such detail, a person could fail to see the forest for the trees. But let's not be too quick to criticize. The Pharisees and scribes were the ones who took faith seriously. In today's parlance, they were the pillars of the church. Their attentiveness to detail reflected their devotion to God. And that's the irony. Seeking to be religious, pure, and holy, they created a barrier that separated them from God. And religion can do that. Truth to tell, some of the most difficult people to love that I've ever known were religious people. They'd trump your kindness with their morality every time. You could never do enough to please them. In the church where I grew up, there was an elder like that. He would take note every month when communion was served and then complain to the pastor and the chairman of worship if the table wasn't set up to his specifications, or if one of the elders serving the bread plate handed it with the wrong hand. Now, my dad was the chairman of worship. And on communion Sundays, this dairy farmer would get up an hour earlier to milk the cows, come in, take a bath, carefully fold the freshly laundered communion cloths that my mom had washed and ironed into the car, go to church, cut up the bread in the church kitchen, fill the glass communion cups carefully with grape juice, and then carry everything up the steep stairs to the sanctuary, which is on the second floor of our 1832 constructed building. He would set the table, have everything perfect, and then prepare to serve the elements when the time came in the service. And every month, this picky elder would find something to complain about. My image was that he'd beat my father round the head with the Presbyterian Book of Order. Have you ever known anyone like that? He really upset my father. But to give him credit, this elder loved the Lord with all his heart, and he supported the church generously with his time and gifts and talents and service. I wish everyone was as committed as he was. I only wish that he could have loosened up and cut my hardworking dad some slack. In the passage today, the Pharisees and scribes came all the way from Jerusalem to Galilee to set Jesus straight. Why do your disciples disobey the tradition of the elders? And they also, and this is written down in a different gospel, they criticized him for healing on the Sabbath. And in another place, for telling people that their sins were forgiven. This man blasphemes, they said. As far as they were concerned, Jesus himself was impure, and how ironic is that? Now, in contrast to the Pharisees and the scribes, Matthew juxtaposes this Canaanite woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon, way up north. One scholar tells us that Tyre and Sidon were code words in the Bible for pagan land. While Jesus was there, a Canaanite woman came to him, and Canaanite was a code word for enemy of the Jews. This Canaanite woman, this pagan woman, this enemy woman came to Jesus. She'd obviously heard about Jesus and was desperate. She cried out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, you son of David. My daughter is severely demonized." Now, anyone who has had the care and concern for someone who has severe mental or behavioral problems knows how fervently and desperately she called out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, you son of David. My daughter is severely demonized." Now, what follows is an exchange between Jesus and the woman that's, well, frankly, a little embarrassing. We'll let the author, Robert Short, continue the story from the introduction to his book, The Gospel According to Dogs. Now, Robert Short writes, "If anyone is in Christ, said the Apostle Paul, that person is a new creature." Okay, so Christians are new creatures. But exactly what kind of creatures have they become? They are now dogs. Jesus makes this clear when a Canaanite woman, that is a Canaanite woman, falls at the feet of Jesus. This woman is dogging the footsteps of Jesus and his disciples and making a complete nuisance of herself. "Send her away," the disciples say. "She keeps shouting after us." So Jesus turns to her and says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, what Jesus is saying is, "I was sent only to my own people, the Jews." Well, does that stop her? Not even almost. But she came and knelt before him, Matthew tells us. Get the picture? If not, Rembrandt, with one of his drawings of this scene, can help us see what happened. This dog of a woman, or so the Canaanites were thought of by the Jews, especially Canaanite women, this Canaanite woman was quite willing to play the part of dog, to become a dog, literally to get down on all fours begging. So now not only is she a Canaanite and a woman, but also a dog. How low could a person sink? Lord, help me, she cries. Then Jesus gives her the ultimate test. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, he tells her. Yes, Lord, she answers, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Does that do it? Now, that's exactly the answer that Jesus wants to hear. In a single place in all Scripture where Jesus seems to have changed his mind, he says, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Well, this was nothing new in the ministry of Jesus. From the very beginning, he had been consistent and insistent that his message was directed to the spiritually poor, to the lowest of the low in heart, to the emotional down and outers, to those knocked down on all fours and willing to crawl, to the dogs, in other words. And here she came, taking Jesus at his word, groveling and grateful for any little scrap that might fall from his table. She became a dog. And this was exactly the kind of humility that Jesus was looking for. Thank you, Dr. Short. Well, the question for us is, what is the good news for us today? I hear two things in this passage. First, have you ever wondered whether or not you measure up to God's expectations? That if there were, say, minimal standards for faithfulness and good works, you might come up lacking? If so, this passage is for you. The Canaanite woman's great faith had nothing to do with how good she was, or how much she was devoted to God, or whether she'd done good deeds for others. It had to do with her need for a power greater than herself and her willingness to confess it. In an earlier chapter in the Gospel, Matthew tells us that Jesus once told the Pharisees, "Those who are healthy have no need for a physician, but those who are sick do. But you go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If this passage tells us anything, it is that there is a place in God's kingdom for the least, the last, and the lost. In other words, there's a place for you and for me. It also tells us that there's a place for others as well, for those we might least expect to be included in God's great family. Think about it. We're talking here about a Canaanite woman. Remember the Canaanites? They were the mortal enemies of the Jews. They were the descendants of Noah's son, Ham, the ones Noah cursed forever for what his youngest son, Ham, did to him. If you'd asked the Jews if they could think of anyone who would never be invited to the heavenly banquet, they would have told you, the Canaanites. Yet here is a Canaanite woman calling on Jesus to heal her daughter, and in spite of his initial reluctance, he not only healed her daughter, but commended her for her strong faith. On the ladder of ritual purity, she was near the top, while the Pharisees and scribes were on the bottom rung. Next time you come across someone you think is beyond God's grasp, think again. God has a special place in his heart for the underdog, for those you'd never, ever expect to curry God's favor. Frederick Faber put it this way in the poem he wrote that was turned into the hymn we'll sing next. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind. And the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. But we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own. And we magnify his strictures with a zeal he will not own. Was there ever a kinder shepherd, half so gentle, half so sweet, as the Savior who would have us come and gather at his feet? Brothers and sisters in faith, be as faithful as you can. Be religious if you will. Just be careful and not let your righteousness stand in the way of God's infinite mercy, grace, and love. Dare to have the faith of a dog, eager to please and willing to take your place at the Master's feet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.